Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. John Matone is the president of John Matone Partners Incorporated, a global leadership consulting firm. John also teaches in the executive MBA program at Florida Atlantic University. In 2011, he was named to the Guru Radar by the prestigious Thinkers 50. He is the author of Talent Leadership, a proven method for identifying and developing high potential employees. And that book is published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. John, welcome to Edgewise.
Dave, great to be here. Thank you very much.
Now, there are a lot of books out there about talent and talent management, but your book is about talent leadership. Can you explain the difference between the two?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I'm passionate about, Dave, is doing research on the trends in talent management and leadership development that impact organizations all over the globe. It really has been the foundation, continues to be the foundation of the consulting work that I do, the coaching work that I do, my speeches and my writing. My most recent study was published by Pearson last year. And in that study, Dave, we surveyed and interviewed 150 CEOs and VPs of HR and VPs of talent management. And these were companies from across the globe. And we asked them a lot of questions. But I think the most interesting question that we posed was, you know, what is the one leadership development talent management issue that is keeping you up at night? And the number one answer far and away was that we need to identify and develop our future leaders. You know, it's interesting. I've always known this, but it's always important, I think, to get that corroborative evidence that only the research can provide. So, Dave, picture this. You're the CEO of a typical organization anywhere in the world, except maybe India, some countries in Africa, and South America, and you've got a couple of significant issues that you've got to deal with. Issue number one is 40 to 70% of your management population is due to retire in the next 5 years. There's no question that that brain drain reality is going to hit most organizations. Issue number two, you then look at your supply pool of talent to take those available positions, and you recognize that your supply pool is weak. You look at your Generation X population, and you don't have enough talent. You then look at your Generation Y talent, which are really the younger people, and those individuals are not ready to assume those roles of responsibility at this point. And what's interesting is there's no question that we've got a demographic issue that really underlies this issue. But I think the significant issue here is that most organizations are not doing a great job looking into the depths of their organizations mm-hmm. and identifying the massive talent that exists in the younger people. Mm-hmm. There is massive talent that exists, future leaders, and organizations, quite frankly, they need to do a better job identifying these people and accelerating their development. Mm-hmm. So my answer to that question really is this. I think there's a lot of great books on talent management. I think the book that I've written, Talent Leadership, addresses this issue head on. And for that reason, the book is really tailored for certainly the VPs of talent management, VPs of HR. But the book is also written for CEOs and operating executives so they can truly create and implement a stronger strategic approach to talent. So ultimately, Dave, they can mitigate their operating risk and drive breakthrough operating results.
Now, you're right about great leaders having a strong, what you call inner core and outer core. What do you mean by this? I'm sort of thinking about those old cutaway models of the earth, you know what I mean? And then the core and the mantle and all that other stuff. What do you mean by this?
Yeah, that's what I'm visualizing too, Dave. In fact, one of the things that I do a lot of is executive coaching, and there's a lot of this information in the book. But when you think of the inner core of a leader executive, you're looking at elements that are typically not seen by other people. Those elements include the individual self-concept, their elements of character, to what extent are they courageous, to what extent are they diligent, and so on and so forth, their values, their beliefs, how they think about things, their emotional makeup is certainly significant, their behavioral tendencies. These are all the elements that reside within an individual. They tend to be very enduring in that they're very difficult to change. But it's been my experience that a leader's strong inner core will predict a stronger outer core. Now, when you think of the outer core, you need to think about the skills and competencies that a typical leader executes, things like critical thinking, strategic thinking, decision making, talent leadership, talent management, drive for results, and so on and so forth. What's interesting is a lot of organizations, when they measure these elements, they tend to forget the inner core. They tend to focus in on the outer core, and they'll measure, for example, using 360-degree surveys and performance reviews, and they'll get calibration on the outer core. But a lot of organizations are not focusing in on that inner core. That inner core represents a couple key elements that drive success. One is maturity. A leader who's got a strong inner core is mature, meaning that, you know, they have a strong foundation, they've got strong values, very important. And also, I think the maturity factor provides that leader with a foundation for being versatile. It is those two elements that really provide the bridge to them executing at a high level.
All right. Let's call out some of these mistakes that organizations are making right now when it comes to deciding who's going to be promoted or who should be considered a high potential. What kinds of mistakes are being made there?
Huge mistakes. The biggest mistake is the belief that the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And that is just not correct. If organizations work from this premise, it's my prediction that they're going to continue to make a lot of succession mistakes and high potential selection mistakes. In reality, when you think about it, the skills and competencies required for success in a leader's current role often have very little to do with the skills and competencies required for success in the next role. In fact, my good friend Marshall Goldsmith has talked about this for years. What got you here won't necessarily get you there. And so when I look at this whole concept of mistakes that organizations make, I would say that the best predictor of future behavior is you got to understand the target that you're shooting for. You've got to understand the competencies required for success in the role that you're projecting that leader to attain. But you've also certainly got to consider their past performance. But here's the thing that's missing, Dave. Organizations are not assessing the leader's capability, their can-do, if you will, to execute successfully in that new role. They're not measuring and calibrating what I call the commitment or the motivation and drive to excel in that next role. And they're certainly not measuring the alignment factor, which really is the must-do and the degree of connectedness that that leader has to the mission of the organization. That's the piece that's missing. I can't tell you how many meetings I've been in, succession review meetings, board meetings, where leaders are sitting around and sharing opinions about high-po executives, using perception and hearsay, and they're making decisions about who's going to end up on succession plans, and then sometimes making decisions about who the next CEO is, yet nobody's talking about, is that individual truly a capable, committed, and aligned leader? And in the book, I really spend a great deal of time focusing in on this to help organizations really do a much better job making these very critical decisions.
Well, obviously, there are some companies that, at least to your mind, are doing a really good job at this whole concept of talent leadership. Can you drop some names? I mean, obviously, if it's a good thing, I would imagine it'd be okay to drop some names of some companies that are really doing well in talent leadership.
Absolutely. Some of the ones are really household names. As you might expect, the larger the organization, typically the better that they do in executing these kinds of things. GE does an outstanding job with talent leadership. Procter & Gamble, IBM, Microsoft, Coca-Cola, Toyota, Nestle. These are some of the ones that really jump out. FedEx does a fantastic job in terms of all of the talent management things. The thing that's important, though, for companies to recognize is that it's one thing, Dave, to have strong talent management, because a lot of these big companies are very, very strong in the nuts and bolts of talent management. You know, how do you promote people? How do you do a succession planning meeting, performance management? These are elements that are really the nuts and bolts. That's one element. The element that differentiates these companies from the other companies is that they recognize the connectedness of strong talent management to driving operating success. Mm-hmm. You see, it's really a strategic approach that is important to implement. By the way, these are big companies. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of mid-sized companies that perhaps some of our listeners have heard of before that I think are doing breakthrough work. And I'm going to share a couple of these companies real quick.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bank in South Carolina called AgFirst, Farm Credit Bank. Not a big company. However, if you take a look at their talent management systems and how strategic their systems are in driving operating success, and really everybody's belief that talent can make a difference, they're doing some amazing things. There's another company, Navy Federal Credit Union, which is growing significantly. Another example of a company that's, you know, not huge, but again, doing incredible things in these areas.
Just to wrap up, I'm kind of curious about your thoughts on what we've seen. I guess it's been around a long time, but it just seems to be much more noticeable now. And that's this whole kind of culture of the rock star executive or the rock star company leader, you know. And I'm thinking of people like Jeff Bezos or, you know, Sergey and the folks at over at Google, or obviously Steve Jobs at Apple. And I'm wondering, with all their success and their meteoric rise and the heat and the light that surrounds these types of companies,
right,
are they as committed, based upon your observations, to this type of leadership, or is that a chapter yet to be written?
A little bit of both. I think that's a great perspective, and I don't mean to be negative, but in my world of research around all of this talent management, leadership development work that I do, I think there aren't that many truly incredible leaders out there in the world of business. I think there are many outstanding leaders, Dave,
mm-hmm,
but the really truly great ones are very few and far between. I think that's a challenge for organizations, is to raise the bar on the execution of leadership. And certainly there's a lot of books out there on leadership that provide a roadmap for doing that. But Jeff Bezos is one that I think is a very good example of great leadership from the standpoint of a visionary individual, strong character, and so on and so forth. I think it's difficult, though, to correlate the rock star environment to a foundation in that organization for doing really the things that we're talking about on this interview.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult, because I have seen, certainly in those rock star situations, organizations that may not be executing at a high level in these areas. One organization that we need to keep an eye on, by the way, is Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahoo just made a CEO change just recently. And if you really take a look at the decision around that CEO selection, one could actually conclude that Yahoo really may not have done their due diligence around making a great selection around that CEO position.
Hmm.
When you've got the chairman of the board saying that the decision was based upon technical expertise, right,
mm-hmm,
rather than incredible visionary and leadership,
mm-hmm,
skills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to disparage anybody. I think we need to keep an eye on that.
Right.
But it's something that I don't think we can draw a correlation to.
No, but it's an ongoing experiment. At this point, I want to thank our guest, John Matone. John is the author of Talent Leadership, A Proven Method for Identifying and Developing High Potential Employees. John, thanks so much for being with us today.
Pleasure to be here, Dave. Thank you all very much.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET. That's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.